Welcome, everyone, to RB1 Going Famous Football Podcast, part of the Fake Teams Podcast channel. I am your humble host, once conducted and now completely dead, Devin Funches, hype train, Ron Com aficionado, said Christian McCaffrey was going thousands and thousands before it was cool, worshiper of Nikhil Harry and Damian Harris, truth of the married one, Pete Rogers, and I am joined by only one of the guys yet again. It is not Clark Burns. It is not Jordan Smith. It is the biggest 49ers fan you know. Arya Stark is a spirit animal. Don't take him to Vegas. The only man who hates Larry Fitzgerald and a fan of what scientists love and call, quote, facts, ginger normal man Nick Botterford. Nicholas! How you doing?
I don't know how you do that, man. You fly through that. But I'm very good. Pete, it's my birthday today.
Oh, shit!
30 fucking years old.
Wow, you are A, old, B, happy birthday.
Thank you. You know who else's birthday it is? We should have had him on. Danny Kelly.
What the fuck? You guys had the same birthday?
Yeah, he tweeted this like years ago.
How?
And
oh, well, now it's creepy that you bring it up because if he tweeted
no, that's it. Ago, this is the thing.
You've just been holding on to this information. You know Danny listens to the podcast.
He tweeted, he's a friend of the podcast. No, he tweeted this years ago. And I was like, hey, me too. I love your stuff. And so every year I've been like, hey, man, I'm that guy who always like, happy birthday to us. And he's like, yeah, dude. Did not have the courage to bring that up when we had him on the show.
Oh, Nicholas. You're such a timid little boy, but happy birthday nonetheless. I thought we were the same age. How are you older than me? You're so old. And maybe it's Jordan and I. Maybe it's Jordan and I who are the same age, and we're the youngins on this podcast.
Yeah, Jordan surprised me. I think we won't reveal much about everyone's age, but yeah,
fact that we've 50% of this podcast, we've already spoken of their age in depth, mainly just Clark.
That's true. We've identified
we all know how old Clark is
that he was born at. Yeah. I thought you and Clark were older than me, and that Jordan and I were the same age. And it turns out that I'm number two in the age pecking
in the
order,
pecking but, order. Yeah, I'm a mere 28, a young blood. I know. Crazy. I it's confusing when I have this glorious mustache. It really throws you for a loop. You're not quite sure how old I am.
Did you grow that ironically?
Shut the fuck up, Nick.
No, I mean initially. Cause like,
so honestly, it's the only thing that I can grow. Like my beard is patchy and it's not even really complete. It doesn't connect anywhere. And so I was like, well, when I grow my facial hair, I was just like, well, this is the only thing I can grow. So I'm just going to let this rage and be its beautiful self. And so I've done that for a couple of years now. And during it's the fall into winter season is the time that Becca lets me wear it because it's the end of wedding season. So then I'm not wearing a mustache to any weddings, and it's the start of the winter so that we don't see as many people. So basically it's when I am in quarantine,
hibernate?
Becca allows me to grow a mustache.
This is like Joe Dirt, or he, I don't know if you saw that terrible David Spade movie in like 1998, but he naturally only grew in like a mustache, a goatee, and then sideburns that neatly ran like a straight line down his cheek. But
Nick, I was 7 when that movie came out.
Yeah. Love that. Love when people do that now. But yeah, anyway, no, I mean, I've had a mustache from time to time. Once it was ironic, once it was just because I was an idiot, and you know, then I had the beard, but I could not handle the beard this summer. Anyway, we should get to the show. What are we doing?
Oh, Nicholas. Even on his birthday, he's a man who's constantly working. He can't quit. Can't stop. Won't stop. Never intend to. Week 5.
Thing.
Yeah, week 5 starts and sits, baby. You know it. You love it. You come to us because we have that winning formula to get you the wins that you need in your fantasy league. Since it's just the two of us, we got like 5 games each that we're going to rattle through, talk some starts and sits. Nick, you want to start us off?
Yeah, sure, man. All right, so kicking things off with the game that will be today when everybody listens to this. Thursday night, Rams at Seahawks. So something that we like to target are teams coming off long games. Typically that means overtime, but in this case, we are talking about the Rams and Bucks matchup that had a combined 172 snaps. That means the Rams defense is going to be mighty tired. So they played a much longer game than they're normally used to, and they're playing on a short week. So what do we want? We want speed going into Thursday night. For me, that's DK Metcalf. His targets have somewhat dipped with the explosion of Will Disley, but he's not going to need very many against an already gassed Rams secondary. So I'm firing up DK Metcalf as a flex option that can comfortably finish as a wide receiver too. He is my start, and just because I prefer to always go with starts rather than sits. My second start comes compliments of Adam Levitan of Establish the Run on their NFC Team Notes podcast. He apparently late to the party, as I am. Will Disley and Russell Wilson apparently go to Bible
church together.
Yeah. And
breaking news. You know who broke that news to me? Fucking Jordan Smith. Jordan has been low key on the Will Disley train to a point where I feel like they know each other. Like,
Disley's one of my bigger misses, man.
Jordan has been on the Disley train from the get go, and he texted this to the group like earlier this week, which is basically like highlighting a quote of Wilson saying, "We go to Bible study together. We talk. We're connected pretty good. I just really admire him." And Jordan is all like, "Yeah, baby." Somehow Jordan just knew this shit was going to happen and has been reaping the benefits so far.
There are remarkably eerily similar things going on with Will Disley and Jimmy Graham, right? So Jimmy Graham, he was a slow start, but once they figured out their red zone chemistry, he had 10 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I think was it 2016 or no, 2017 or 2018. When the Seahawks only had one rushing touchdown or whatever, and three from Russell Wilson, but one from JD McKissick. But anyway, Russell Wilson figured out that he likes tight ends in the red zone. However, Jimmy Graham tore his patellar tendon last year. Will Disley tore his patellar tendon. Somehow has managed a recovery, and that's awesome. But this whole patellar tendon torn tight end who's balling out in the red zone thing is interesting.
You've heard this story before?
It's bizarre. But anyway, fire up Will Disley. It's dangerous because you're chasing touchdowns, which you always want to chase yardage, not touchdowns. But in the barren wasteland that is tight ends, if you see some sort of connection, go after it. So if you're lucky enough to get him, start Disley as a tight end one, and especially over guys that you might have been high on, like OJ Howard.
Yeah, and I like the DK Metcalf call because we've spent a lot of time, or myself especially, since I seem to be picking the Rams. I've picked the Rams a lot leading up to this week. Their defense is good. Their secondary is solid. Like you can't really tell from coming off of week 3 where they gave up a shit ton of points. But up until that point, they were one of the top secondaries in the league. I don't think they'd given up a touchdown yet. And that's why last week I was like, you should sit Mike Evans. And then, he didn't do as much as Chris Godwin. So 50% correct there. Anyways. But you could think of a point where it's like, okay, well, maybe that was just a fluke game. This defense gets right back on track. But I like the tired, exhausted. They played like 70 snaps, which is asinine.
They played 74.
That's insane. That is an absurd amount because a normal game is like 50 some odd, right?
Not a normal game is in the 60s, okay. but the fact that the game ended up going for like 4.5 hours. So it's not one, it's the snaps is important, but two, just like the duration of being out there is exhausting. And then the fact that they have to turn around and play on Thursday night compounds it.
Yeah. And in Seattle, which is a tough place to play. No, I like it. I like it. I like it. And it's funny that it makes sense because Thursday football is the first one, but you start with Rams Seahawks. I'm going to talk about the other team that played in that grueling bowl, Tampa Bay versus New Orleans. I know everyone got super excited and rightfully so. You went and added him off the waiver wire and you were right to do so, but this is not the week to start Ronald Jones. We saw him finally get a star role in that backfield, finally get the touches that a starting running back should get, but the Saints haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher since last year. I think it goes back like 16 some odd games that they haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher. They're giving up the fourth fewest points to running backs. If you have him, that's awesome. Like, you did the right thing by getting him off waivers. I do think that this is officially his backfield, but this is not the week to you don't get him and throw him in your starting lineup this week. Sit a week. This defense is really good, but you'll still have him and play him later in the season.
Yeah, that's a pretty good call, man. I added Jones in one or two leagues and have been wondering what the heck to do with him. Sheldon Rankins, defensive lineman of the Saints, I think he was injured to open the year, but he's back. And I can't recall who they played. Oh, yeah, Dallas.
Ezekiel Elliott had like 1.2 yards per carry on Sunday night or Monday night, whenever they played, Sunday night.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I like the call.
Yeah. But and it'll be interesting to see, too, because this is a game. This is like that next test for Ronald Jones and Bruce Arians' commitment to him, because it could be something where after seeing, 19 or so touches, they suddenly are like, Peyton Barber's our guy. And you're like, oh, God damn it, Bruce Arians. Or you see Ronald Jones still get that starting workload. Maybe it's not as productive, but you're like, hey, I'm taking away from this. He is locked in for 15 plus carries a game, and we know that he can produce if he's got a good matchup. So don't start him this week, but don't panic if you went and got him off waivers. He's a great guy to have on your team. Another game you're looking at, Nicholas.
Okay, going right into it. Let's see here. The second one on my list is New England at Washington. So this one, I'm glad you talked about this
because I debated a long time about whether or not I wanted to pick someone to talk about in this game, but I'm glad that you are, so that I can give my two cents without, you know.
So my start for this one, and this is, I oftentimes try to find some matchup where someone has a headache, and that's with Sony Michel. I am still starting him. And I don't know that we'll have very many more opportunities to start him, but I can see your face. I just had to adjust the screen, but his touch counts. He's only been in single digits once in the last three games for his carry counts. And of all teams, the Washington football team is one that can absolutely be run on. And you drafted him most likely as your running back too. You might be starting him as your flex, but I think that he's got a fairly good shot at scoring this week. So I'm still rolling with him, and then I'm trying to sell high.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't hate that narrative. I have not seen anything that I like from him this year. Nothing. And I've seen nothing. And it's not just him. It's also this run offense. When they run power, they've just had no success this year. And Sony Michel has yet to break a tackle, which blows my mind. It's unfathomable that he is a starting running back in this league and has yet to break a tackle. We're 5 weeks into the NFL season. I also think, given how just absolutely trash Washington secondary is, that this is a Julian Edelman game. That this is Julian Edelman's going to get 15 targets for 12 receptions and 150 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I think that they will. I don't think the Patriots will have any issue moving the ball down the field. I'm just thinking when they get in, they'll spread out wide and just have
him. And just have him hammer it home. So you're betting on that touchdown production.
Yeah, and if Rex Burkhead wasn't battling like multiple injuries, I might be thinking about this a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously I love Rex Burkhead, but I don't think that they're going to spell Sony Michel with James White. So that's just kind of my thought process there. And for a sit Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
This defense is insane. On the Dantasy football podcast, the Ringers podcast, Danny Heifetz was talking about how they have, I think it's like the best fantasy football defense start since the 1996 Packers or something through the first 4 weeks. So I love Terry McLaurin, but I've got him in my notes as he's a PPR flex, which is not a lot of ceiling there.
Yeah. And the Patriots defense their start has just been out of this world. So on Fake Teams, Patty Cooper, who writes for us, he has his whole ranking system of how he ranks teams, offenses, defense, whatnot. And at the quarter of the year, he gave out his quarter power rankings, and he broke down all the different aspects of the game and each team. And unsurprisingly, the Patriots are the best team in the league, according to his numbers. But the Patriots defense is playing at a current rating for him. So he does his whole calculations. The current rating he's calculated them at is plus 1.9%, which is, that number makes sense as crazy high or just amazingly impressive when you compare it to first. The average defensive ranking of the other 31 teams is minus 41.7%. And the best defense he's ever recorded is the 2010 Steelers, which is minus 16.1%. So the Patriots are in the positives when even the best team he's ever recorded was still like 10 digits in the negative. So like this defense is just playing out of its mind, and you should not. It is not a smart decision to bet on this being the week that they flounder, which eventually will happen. Some team will probably put up numbers against them. Like, that's just an inevitability. But you don't want to risk a starting spot being like, this is the week that Terry McLaurin goes for, you know, 7 catches and 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. Like, that's not going
to happen. Dwayne Haskins is going to complete like 9 passes.
Maybe. Dwayne Haskins is going to throw more picks than he throws completions.
Yeah, no, if Vegas is allowing someone to bet on pick sixes, like, do it.
Oh, the over under, the Patriots are favored, last time I checked, by 15.5 points. Jesus. Bet the over. Like, they will score more than that. Jay Gruden doesn't know who the fuck is his quarterback this week. Like, no, this is going to be a garbage game. So bet, always go for the over. So second game I'm going to be talking about, Bills coming to Tennessee to take on the Titans. And after what we saw against the Falcons, I was all ready to see Mariota and the Titans offense be like, oh, look, we got our shit together. We're suddenly good. You can trust me. I'm Marcus Mariota that everyone thought I was going to be. You know, like, this is it. Corey Davis, AJ Brown, they're all starts. You're good to go. Then I saw that they were playing the Bills, and I was like, well, maybe I'll check back in week 6. Because we all know just how we spent the last segment talking about how the Patriots defense is for real. This Bills secondary is also for real. They've only allowed 1 touchdown to a wide receiver through the first 4 weeks, which is second behind the Pats. So despite the fact that we saw an emergence from Corey Davis and everyone rushed to the waiver wire to get AJ Brown, I'm really just shitting on all those waiver wire ads that you just got. All these new toys that you want to play with, don't play with them. You can't start them, and you can't get tricky and start Mariota thinking that, ooh, he hasn't thrown an interception yet. He has the highest completion percentage or whatever it is. No, like, that's all going to change against this Bills secondary. It's going to shut them down. The only place that you're going to find this passing game is on a milk carton, because it's going to go missing and everyone's going to be scrambling to find it. So don't start anyone in the Tennessee's passing attack. But, and Nick, you'll appreciate this because it's our boy, do start Derrick Henry, because the Bills are bottom 12 in points to opposing backs. And so if Mariota can't throw the ball anywhere, they're just going to give Henry like 500 touches. And guess what? He's going to at least get you a touchdown.
Dude, he has been, I am blowing my bet with Clark out of the water that I would start him in 8 games or more. He's been so friggin' awesome, man. Like, he even in standard scoring, has not gone under 10.5 points in a week. They just are loading up his workload as much as he can handle. And yeah, this is going to be interesting. I do have in my notes that I think this is the week that Mariota finally turns the ball over, which, like, dude, good for you. Because I don't know, man. He is a guy who I watched like the entirety of their game. I think it was in week 3, and he looked like he is so inaccurate. So inaccurate, but he's not throwing any picks. Anyway, yeah, he'll probably throw some this week. I like the Henry call.
Yeah. So there you go. There's your Titans. Here's your Titans spiel. Next, another game you're looking at, and you got starts and sits for.
Yeah. All right. Number 3 on the list is Ravens at Steelers. So, man, I've really kind of gone back and forth on this one, but I think for start, we're going to go with Marquise Brown. He has not done what everyone would have hoped he would have done over the last, I think, I can't recall, 2 or 3 weeks.
Roughly.
He's still getting a ton of looks through the passing game. He is their number one option with Mark Andrews slightly. So, I mean, doesn't really matter. Mark Andrews just plays 50% of the snaps, whether he's healthy or not. So that doesn't really matter. But the Pittsburgh secondary has just been a sieve to opposing wide receivers. Start Marquise Brown. I think he's going to score this week. I thought he was going to score last week. And this is one of those games where I'm like, I think he's got a 40-yard touchdown in him kind of without question. So yeah, absolutely fire him up. For a second start, Deontay Johnson.
Yes.
The dude has taken over as the number one in Pittsburgh, much to my dismay and Clark's delight. 2 weeks ago, he caught 3 of 6 balls for 52 yards and a score. Last week, he caught 6 of 6 balls for 77 yards and a score. Until we see that change, roll with the guy. He is a flex with wide receiver 2 upside. And, I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster's not doing anything. And this matchup is only imposing on paper. The Baltimore defense is not what they are expected to be. And that's, you know, for a litany of reasons, injury and you know, it didn't replace the pass rush and all that. But anyway, receivers can absolutely succeed against this defense. And I like Deontay Johnson. So he needs to be owned in all leagues. I see him owned in a lot of leagues. He needs to be owned everywhere.
Yeah. Both receivers are definitely starts, because for the Steelers defense has just been hemorrhaging points to wide receivers. And I fully like Marquise Brown, not only for him to do well, but also I just think that this is going to be a Lamar Jackson bounce back game and a Ravens offense bounce back game. John Harbaugh is going to go deep into what he's got to pull out a game plan that's going to, there's probably going to be a fair amount of trickery in it, I feel like, but they are going to want to win this game because they can't go down to the Steelers. And on the flip side, we've seen the blueprint of how to beat this Ravens defense. It's basically just like Earl Thomas is playing very aggressive. And so as long as you have something to mildly distract him, he's going to miss, or their whole secondary is going to miss people streaking deep. I mean, that's how Mecole Hardman got deep in for the Chiefs. It's also how who they had a bomb to where against the Browns to, was it to Ricky Seals-Jones or it was to someone, it was to one of their wide receivers where Odell had just a simple curl and Earl crashed down on it and left the seam wide open. And I forget who is thrown to. But so you see this happening. And I think that you're going to have something similar where they're going to game plan Juju to draw the whole defense's attention and then just whoop, toss it over the top to Deontay Johnson. Moving on, if you are starting those guys, you got to sit someone. And I have a wide receiver. I've just been on a roll of sits, man. Wide receiver that you should be sitting. It pains me to say this after he conducted an interview Wednesday wearing a fake mustache to honor everyone's favorite jorts wearing mustache toting quarterback. But Jacksonville versus Carolina, DJ Chark, I don't know if I like this matchup enough to play him. And we've already alluded to multiple wide receivers who we do like their matchups. The Panthers have been damn good this year against opposing wide receivers. They're the 4th best pass defense per DVOA, and they're allowing only 156 passing yards per game, which is lowest in the league. I just think I love Gardner Minshew. I love everything that he stands for. The fact that he went into Denver and evaded like 13 billion sacks to throw the game-winning touchdown is beautiful and music to my ears. He's eventually going to come down at least to hover above the earth's surface. And this Panthers defense is for real. And they are in Carolina. I just think that the secondary is going to clamp down. And I don't think DJ Chark is going to get the numbers that we are used to, that we've been seeing from him so far. And with other better options out there, I'm just saying, be wary of him.
So yeah, I'm going to have DJ Chark as a fringe wide receiver 2/3. Dante Jackson, the number 2 corner, is out, but they still have James Bradbury, who is a very, very good lockdown corner, and he's going to kind of be giving him hell all day. In a standard scoring format, I might be all right with him because he can get like some chunk plays, but this will be his hardest game that he's had so far. And so, yeah, I if you've got another option, go for it. Bench him.
Yeah, no, I think that is the play. Before we go any further into more Week 5 starts and sits, we're going to take a quick ad break. All right, we are back with more Week 5 starts and sits. Nicholas, give us another game that you're watching and some more stats and sits.
So we've got Broncos at Chargers, and we now have the terrifying conundrum of Melvin Gordon returning to the Chargers backfield. And the answer to this conundrum is to just start both him and Austin Eckler, because the Denver Broncos run defense has been appalling. They have been getting blasted by opposing backfields.
It's been trash.
It's been bad. And so and Bradley Chubb, he's out for the year. He just tore his ACL. That's not going to help things. Like they already were getting hammered. That's not going to make them any better. I have been wrong about, I mean, I've been as wrong as I haven't been. rushing running backs into games when they've been sitting out, whether it's training camp or during the regular season, is a dangerous prospect. I think at least this week, that backfield is still a 50-50 split between Eckler and Melvin Gordon. And I think
you're just at risk for soft tissue damage.
There you go. you took the words right out of my mouth from a thousand times ago. But you are at an elevated risk for soft tissue injury. I think that Austin Eckler's feet's falling apart.
His forehead
was on the desk.
So beautiful.
It's true, but I think that
my whole point is just to throw you so you don't even know where you were in your discussion about this game.
Yeah, you've thrown me off. Start Austin Eckler as a running back two and Melvin Gordon high end flex because they're going to be getting split workload. And I think that Eckler is going to remain much more part of this offense than he has in the past when he was so like flexible last year.
Yeah. And we talked about this. If you listen to Tuesday's podcast, Jordan and I talked about him, and Eckler was one of my guys who I think that you should go out and buy low in your fantasy leagues because of exactly this, that people are going to freak out because after he's had a fantasy MVP season, he's on my fantasy team. I have witnessed the greatness of Austin Eckler in fantasy, and it is crushing that Melvin Gordon is coming back into this backfield. But the two things you can take away from it is, one, we know exactly at its worst, right? At its absolute worst, we know exactly that these two players can both have fantasy relevance. Eckler was an RB 27, I think, last year, playing well behind Melvin Gordon. And I don't think that they're going to be like, okay, well, Melvin Gordon, you're back. You're going to get 20 carries, and Austin Eckler, you're going to get 5. Like, that's just not how it's going to be. I think Austin Eckler is going to get – I think it's going to be a pretty split backfield, but I think even that split backfield is going to favor Eckler because he has been the best running back in the league to start this season, and so they would be stupid to not, you know, fixate, have him be a focal point of the offense. So if there is someone in your league who is panicking about Austin Eckler and they're like, oh, no, this guy is falling, buy him out from under them real cheap because he's still going to have plenty of fantasy relevance moving forward.
So something that's also noteworthy, Dontrell Edmond is out indefinitely. This is per Roto World's injury page on the Chargers. Dontrell Edmond is out indefinitely. Virgil Greene's out for 4 weeks. Mike Williams is day-to-day with a back injury, which has been problematic for him before. Travis Benjamin is day-to-day with a hip injury. Hunter Henry is out indefinitely still. Their left tackle is out indefinitely. Russell Okung. The offense is banged the hell up. They're like, even if they want to make Melvin Gordon the bell cow, they're going to have to involve Austin Eckler. And Justin Jackson's got a calf injury.
Yeah.
They're
all getting work. Yeah. At what point do the Chargers look at their training staff and you're just like, you guys suck at your job and we need to get a whole new crew in here? Because it is every single year that half the team falls apart. Within like the first two weeks of the season, all of a sudden the Chargers have lost like half their players every year.
So, I mean, their thing is they're like the final team to not have an analytics department. And I wonder if that is emblematic of their embrace of science generally. Like if they're just like, we've got our old school training staff. And
we don't believe in science. Get the job done. Leeches suck the bad blood out. What do you mean you need to have surgeries in science? They're
knocking on somebody's pecs going, what do you mean soft tissue? As hard as a rock.
These muscles are fucking hard. What do you mean soft tissue? That's not a real thing. Shut up.
Anyway. Chargers, you're the worst team that you've ever created.
We should at some point do a full ranking of Nick's least favorite teams in the NFL. Because I feel like there are maybe 3 teams that you actually like in the league. Everyone else you despise. There's no in-between for you. It's either you're like, oh, yeah, no, it's a well-run organization and I appreciate what they do. Or they should burn in hell and everyone on that team is garbage.
I think like the middle tier is just they're like maddening teams. Like the Chargers, they are such an awesome team, and they're the people who steer that ship are fucking morons. And so like that's different than a team like the Chiefs, where like honestly, fuck you guys for all the domestic violence people that you employ. I don't like screw you. I don't like that team.
Amen.
That's different than the Chargers, who I'm like, God, you could be so good.
They for the last 4 years, have had the best roster in the NFL from a pure talent standpoint.
Dude, it is friggin' loaded.
And it's amazing that they have not done anything. All right, well, let's move on. I'm going to next game talk about Minnesota Vikings taking on the New York Giants. And guys, we've all been waiting for it. This is the week where you can start the Vikings passing attack. Start Adam Thielen, and maybe, just maybe, but probably not, given the fact that he didn't report to the team on Wednesday, Stephon Diggs. This is mildly based on stats, but mostly narrative-based. The Giants are giving up the third most touchdowns, fifth most yards, fourth most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. So those are your stats. And narrative-wise, this whole week has been the Kirk Cousins shit show, with everyone bashing him, Thielen included. Everyone's just been like, Kirk, learn to throw the football. And I think that this is going to be a pass-happy game plan to please those pass catchers. It's a low-cost game, low stakes, which means Kirk Cousins is going to become Kirk God and just start throwing for 500 yards and four touchdowns because there's no pressure on his shoulders. And, man, he'd play so much better when there's no pressure. And I think they're going to want to be like, okay, look, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, I know you guys are stressy, but we're going to get you involved. We're going to feed you, and everything's going to be hunky-dory, and we're going to do it against a secondary that is hot garbage, and so y'all are going to eat. So confidently start Adam Thielen. If you want to be real sexy, start Stephon Diggs, but mainly because it's not that he's going to be playing for the Vikings this weekend. It's because he's going to get traded, and he's going to somehow manage to wind up on the Patriots. Salary cap be damned. And he's going to catch five touchdowns from Brady.
So, yeah, for the first time, I'll agree that Adam Thielen should be started. Something that Mr. Evan Silva likes to talk about on that same podcast I referenced earlier, the team-by-team notes for the NFC this week. Something he's highlighted is the squeaky wheel narrative. And that is that from time to time, NFL teams, if they have a player who is chirping, who they have not been giving the ball, they'll just go, all right, fuck it. First play of the game, we'll get it to you. And we'll just kind of like deliver the ball to him enough that it's like, this is reasonable for you to shut up now. And against the non-existent Giants defense, I think that that's a good opportunity to do that. If they actually go full pass over the run, then it's just going to be more through the air looks to Dalvin Cook. He's going to get 10 targets, which is going to make him even more valuable. I embrace the Sir Adam Thielen thing. The Diggs thing is crazy. Something that a lot of folks talk about is the times when he is on the practice report with an injury, he goes for like under 50 yards. Like, it's without question. When he is questionable, he goes under some outrageously bad stat. We don't know what the issue is now. He's a mysterious absence. So who knows? He's well, that'd be interesting if they, I don't know.
They're not. He's got too much. I mean, he has a cap that would be a salary that'd be hard for a team to comfortably eat. And I think it's early in this disgruntled period for them to just be like, we're going to trade you after signing you to a big time contract. But it's in the future. But to your point about a team, you know, when a player speaks out or they want to highlight him, Davante Adams didn't speak out, but you saw Rodgers was like going into, you know, the game against the Eagles. He was like, we're going to get Davante Adams the ball. And then through the first quarter, Davante Adams had 120 yards on like 300 targets. So I think that you're going to see similar things for Adam Thielen, where the first quarter, Adam Thielen's going to get like 10 targets for 8 catches and 60 yards.
Yeah, the Adams example is apropos.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Is this your last game? Last game that you're going to be looking at, talking about, or do you got two more? I can't remember if I started with this. This is your last one. Go.
Yeah. So, Browns at 49ers. For those of you who are panicking about your wide receiver one, Odell Beckham Jr., never fear.
Go panic no more.
This is going to be a big week for him. So, both Jason Verrett, who is a like all pro talent at corner, but just can't stay healthy. He is week to week with a foot injury. Akella Witherspoon is week to week with an ankle injury. And Richard Sherman, his kryptonite his whole career has been speedy receivers off the line. And Pete Carroll talks, I don't know why, he Pete Carroll's big on just telling people what he's going to do. But he's like, yeah, the way that you beat a big, strong receiver that's going to press you is with a small one. And like, it's.
But don't you dare do that to me, because I got Richard Sherman in here and he can beat that.
Dude, it is so weird. But anyway, yeah, so Sherman, when he was young, had still, I mean, he was obviously an all-pro corner, but his kryptonite was speedy receivers who could just blow past him right at the snap. And that's what Odell Beckham Jr. can do. He's not the 5'9 small receiver, but he is small. And, you know, he's like 5'10, 5'11, 190 pounds. He's small enough that he can make that happen. So I expect a monster day out of him.
I don't want to interrupt you, but in the exact same thing that we just talked about with Adam Thielen and Davante Adams last week, right? The Browns offense exploded. OBJ wasn't a part of it. They're going to be like, yeah. Oh, hey, OBJ, guess what? We're going to give you 10 targets in the first quarter.
Yeah. And then as a second, like, start or sit option, I'm just going to pivot off of that and say that if you're in need of a wide receiver, you should go grab Antonio Callaway. Yes. He's coming off suspension. He's very talented. He has had a litany of off-field issues, and he did show up a little out of shape to camp. That being said, he's really talented, and they need all of the good pass catchers they can get to try to negate the holes in their offensive line. Just, you know, throw quick pop passes. He's very, very good, and if he's ready to play, he can make an impact.
Yeah, I just spent 10 of my fab dollars on him to get him on my team, one of my leagues. Because exactly. What is your thought, because the San Francisco 49ers have been the best run defense against fantasy running backs? What's your thought on Nick Chubb? Are you worried at all? Because I am a Nick Chubb owner, and I want to ask for my fellow compadres as to whether or not we should be worried.
You know, I'm not. I think that he still will just stay in the RB1 range. Last week, he put on display what it is he can do against, you know, what's perceived to be a good defense. And I do think that, like, you know, the Niners.
Burn Ravens.
Yeah, burn Ravens. But so I'm just taking a peek. All right, so week one, he had the Bucs backfield, which was still Peyton Barber. Mm-hmm. Well, shit, Ronald Jones got 13 carries now. That's interesting. Yeah, I just believe in Nick Chubb. Yeah. He's phenomenal, and I think that he's going to get 20 carries. And actually, he's getting – the other thing is he's getting work through the passing game now.
Which means that even if they shut him down on the ground, he'll still get targets in the air, and we'll still get you fantasy return via that.
Yeah, he had 4 targets. So if they just have him shoot out around the pass rush, they can still get him the ball.
Perfect. All right, last team that we're going to talk about, or last game that we're going to talk about for starts and sits, Chicago Bears taking on the Oakland Raiders. This is a classic speaking into existence pick because I'm starting him and I want him to do something this week. Start David Montgomery. The script is there for a good game. You have a backup quarterback, so they're going to lean on the ground game. Oakland is middle of the pack when stopping the run in London. I don't know what that has to do with it, but hey, I'm throwing it out there. They're not in America, so who knows what could happen then. He's getting a ton of work on the ground. This is hopefully the week where it all just kind of meshes and gets together and we see a solid fantasy performance from David Montgomery. I mean, maybe it's 60 yards and a touchdown, but that's what I'm kind of expecting. Nothing crazy. On the flip side, don't start Josh Jacobs this week because he is not going to make it over 30 yards against this Bears defense. And if you listen to Tuesday's podcast, you know that after this week, you should trade for Josh Jacobs in your league because he has a cushy-ass schedule after that, and people will be freaking out because the Bears will hold him to, like, 3 fantasy points.
Yeah, I'm finally feeling really good about starting David Montgomery. Like, I obviously sung his praises throughout the preseason. This is an awesome matchup, and his snap count has just been flying up every week. So, yeah, let's do it. And also, I mean, Chase Daniel, actually, yeah. You know, they're less likely to turn the ball over with Chase Daniel at quarterback.
Oh, we talked about this on Tuesday's show. Chase Daniels is a better starting quarterback for the Bears than Mitchell Trubisky.
I mean, I don't think
start Allen Robinson with upside, confidence,
but like, yeah, you know what? Go look at your waiver wires, everybody. Cause I found Allen Robinson.
No, you didn't.
And Deshaun Watson in one of my leagues. Yeah.
What league are you playing in that Deshaun Watson is on your waiver?
I'm in a lot of leagues.
What fucking idiot cut Deshaun Watson? He had one bad game and he's like, Deshaun Watson's not on my team anymore.
I hope that was Brady. It was probably Brady.
Suck it, Brady. We've never met, but stupid.
Oh, it wasn't Brady. It was Brady's friend, though. He vouched for him.
Stupid Brady's friend that he vouched for. It's almost worse. This is almost a worse commentary on you as a person, Brady, than if it was you who dropped Deshaun Watson. Yeah, vouching Brady. For a friend to come onto the league just so that they dropped Deshaun Watson is probably one of the worst things you could do as a person. And I'm not exaggerating. This is, you know, well recognized as one of the worst things you can do as a person.
No longer a friend of the podcast.
No longer a friend of the podcast, Brady. We have lost a subscriber. It's all right. It's Danny Kelly's birthday, so we're all good.
There we go. Oh, man. You're
going
to tweet at him, aren't you?
What the fuck you think I'm going to do? Of course I am. Since it is just Nick and I this week, I reached out to the best fantasy mind that I know to get their opinion on a difficult start and sit this week. What do you do about Alvin Kamara going up against a Bucs defense that's allowing the third fewest fantasy points to opposing backs? So we're going to get this person on the phone and we are going to see what their fantasy, again, this is one of the best minds I know in fantasy, what their fantasy advice is for this week about Alvin Kamara.
Hello.
Hi, Ma.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
All right. I have a question for you.
Yep.
In fantasy football, do I start Alvin Kamara against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week, or do I keep him on my bench?
Tell me a little bit about him.
Okay. So he is a running back for the New Orleans Saints. He wears number 41, which is kind of an odd number for a running back. He's very good in the passing game and on the ground, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a very stout defensive line, which has limited running back production this year.
Sounds like you want a passing game.
All right. So you're going to start him. You're going to start Alvin Kamara this week.
No, they've got a strong defensive line, or they have a strong
defensive line.
Yeah. Then you need somebody to run around it.
Perfect. All right. So you heard it there first from the greatest fantasy mind I know. You do not start Alvin Kamara this week.
Oh my God. Am I on your podcast? Okay. This is a qualifier. I know absolutely nothing about football. Apple fell far from the tree on that one.
All right. Thanks, Ma.
Sure, bye.
I loved that.
So we're awesome. Going to see. We've spoken lots on this podcast about how fantasy football, honestly, when you boil it down, it's just a goddamn crapshoot. It's a guessing game. So we're going to see. We're going to start calling my mom weekly, and we're going to see how accurate she is, having no clue what she's talking about or who these players are. We're just going to see how accurate she is. So she says, don't start Alvin Kamara this week. There you go. There's a sound advice from my mother. Quickly, before we head out, Thursday night picks. This is a good game. Rams versus Seahawks. We talked about it when you were doing your breakdown for starts and sits. But who do you think is going to win this game?
Seahawks. And I think that the exhaustion of the high snaps. Sorry, I was leaning away from the microphone. Seahawks, given the exhaustion that the Rams are going to be experiencing from the long game and the quick turnaround, I think is going to play a huge, huge role in this game. So I'm going with the Seahawks.
Yeah, I second that notion. I think this is going to be a good game, though. I don't think that this is going to be a game where I don't think it's going to be a defensive battle. I think this is going to be a into the high 20s, maybe early low 30s for scores. I think the Seahawks are going to obviously be the better team and maybe won't always ever be in question. But I think Jared Goff and this offense is going to get back on track this week. I think Sean McVay is going to have something cooked up for the short week. Just to kind of try something new and see what clicks. But I agree. I think the Hawks win this at home. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. We are there. Fake Teams Podcast channel. Follow us on Twitter at RB1 Podcast. Follow myself at PM Rogers. Follow Nick at Ginger__Nick without a K. We will be back at you next week. Enjoy. Have a good week 5. And until then, see ya.